If you've lived in Hawaii for any length of time, think back for just a minute to your earliest awareness of Hawaii's school system. You probably don't have to think long. Hawaii's teacher shortage, for example, is a perennial issue for Hawaii's Department of Education. The narrative that we hear about the school system usually includes something like this. Teaching here is difficult, school management is inconsistent, and it's tough to make a living wage. Then there's often the repeated idea that teachers generally aren't that great and Hawaii can't retain what good ones it has, so it's always running after whatever teachers it can corral. Now, UH College of Education Dean Donald Young and I sat down recently to consider what it would take to grow and retain more teachers in Hawaii. Here's our conversation.
It's interesting that all of a sudden it's getting new attention, but this has been a persistent problem for at least 40-some years. I came here originally when there was a teacher shortage, so this is not a new problem. We're seeing new things going on in the context. In our College of Education, for example, we haven't been impacted until this last year with declining enrollment. Nationally, that's happened across the country. But now we're finding that for the first time, our undergraduate enrollment for teacher preparation programs is down. Fortunately, our graduate programs for teacher preparation is up. But part of it is the narrative. I mean, we've had the last two decades under No Child Left Behind, under what I'll describe as probably more draconian accountability. Accountability is a good thing, but when it's taken to a negative degree and only relying on test scores, it's changed the narrative about teaching and what teaching is all about. So we work really hard with our College of Education candidates to prepare them to teach in very creative and open ways, but the narrative hasn't changed in the public. And one of the things that I think the larger context is all of us, parents, teachers, K-12, higher education, the legislature, need to find ways to talk more positively and show shining examples of the good things that are happening in our schools, because they far outweigh the negative.
Is teaching still a calling?
Certainly is. I've got undergraduate students in our college right now preparing to be teachers. I've talked with them frequently, particularly the president of our undergraduate student association. He's committed to being an elementary teacher. He came out of the science. He was going to go into biology. Now he's in education. He's committed to be an elementary teacher, despite the fact that in the stories he tells is he's had parents and unfortunately even teachers telling him not to go into teaching. So these are really the people that we want to attract into the profession. And he's a shining example, and we'll tell that story frequently to fellow students across campus.
He seems to be, from what you've just described, an example of what we've heard in other areas where someone has persisted despite a lot of the negative press or negative storytelling about that profession, but especially with teachers, because we all like to pay such, it seems like, lip service to how important they are in our children's lives, and yet it's been so fraught, as you mentioned, for 40 years. At this point, when we hear from HSTA that teachers need to be better paid, and yet we know they also want to make a difference and are choosing as those who get to that point. What has to happen? Is there another component to this that we really aren't looking at, especially now that states have more control under the Every Student Succeeds Act?
Well, theoretically, they have more control. We'll see how it actually plays out. But what else needs to happen? Certainly, I will applaud HSTA's efforts at raising teacher salaries. When we're looking at an undergraduate major coming out and recommended for licensure and the starting salaries, certainly salary is part of it, but it's also their calling. Folks aren't going into teaching as a career for the salary alone. Salaries have to be high enough in Hawaii so that you can actually put food on the table, not have to have a second job, because everyone who really pays attention to what happens in schools and classrooms knows teaching is hard work. It's really hard work, and it doesn't end at the end of the day. It goes on into the evening with teacher preparation, professional development on nights and weekends. It's a very challenging job. So, yes, it's a calling, and it's also a profession that's very rewarding, but it also has to have the financial rewards and working conditions that are conducive to making people really want to go to work in the morning.
That seems to be where there are a lot of issues, too, where there can be people at schools, colleagues or a principal, that seem to thwart some of those teachers who believe that teaching really is their calling, some of the people that you have in your graduate program. How do you begin to circumvent those people and not have them undercut those who come in with that fervor for teaching and allow them to be able to do some of the more innovative things that we're now told are highly important for creating what we're going to need in the future, even though we don't know what we're going to need in the future?
I guess the things that come to mind immediately are some of the things that we're trying to do in the college. Let me just rattle off some. These are supports that we're providing for our graduates after they're employed. So we've got three faculty members, for example, now who are part of what we call our song team, supporting our new graduates. And they work with those new graduates for 2 years into employment on precisely these issues. Where do I need some additional help with content? Where do I need just somebody to talk to? Where do I need moral support? Where can I get help to counter some of the narratives that I'm seeing in school? So that's one. Another area is we've worked really hard and we've found that re-engaging our graduates in that 3 to 5 year period after they have graduated and engaging them in certificate programs, professional development opportunities for advancement either through certificates or another degree. We've seen teachers come back into, for example, we've got a new teaching certificate in literacy. Some things that we've learned since they were graduates. So if we can re-engage them in how they can be more successful with the students that they're teaching. So those seem to be paying high dividends. The data are inconclusive right now because we've only been at this about 3 years. So we're still targeting that 3 to 5 year period when the bulk of our teachers seem to be leaving the profession.
Last week, I had a chance to again talk with Tony Wagner, who is in town and in the state, working with teachers and schools and educators and interested others in bringing different ideas to the table in this era of innovation. And one of the things that, you know, he talked about regarding teaching is that teachers are often isolated, too isolated, and that they don't have a chance to model the kind of behavior and the kind of learning environment and the kind of collaborative activities that will be incumbent upon kids to be involved with as they get into adulthood and into whatever their fields may be, because it all seems to be moving in that direction. What would you say about this idea that we need to have more team teachers and teachers who are involved in so many things, not just a science teacher or here's a group of science teachers, but where you have the integration of so much of the curriculum?
I guess I'd react with 3 points. Number one is what you described Tony saying about the ecology of school. There's an old quote that was at least probably 40 years old that describes that as the egg crate ecology. Each teacher isolated in their own classroom and hardly ever, except in the coffee room, interacting with someone else. We're working really hard to change that. A lot of what we're doing in teacher preparation is engaging them in teams. All of our teacher preparation programs, by the way, are in cohorts. Students stay with the same group of students throughout that program. So they build very close relationships. They learn how to network and support and rely on one another. And those relationships exist far beyond just preparation. They exist into employment as well. The third point is simply this. Just expecting teachers to team and work together won't cut it. There has to be specific training on how do you team? How do you facilitate? How do you energize a team? How do I commit my part in support of a team? How do I become a team leader? So a lot of those things we're trying to build into our teacher preparation programs and especially into our master's degree program.
Do you have a sense that it really is changing in that direction from what you've seen? Because to build it in and to see it, but maybe there isn't enough longitudinal data for that kind of result to be seen yet?
I think to make it really successful in the kinds of things you're talking about, we need to see how we can use scheduling of time within the school better. And some schools are doing this, of how can you create time when, at least at a department level, teachers can get together during the workday. So those things are happening. It does take some creative scheduling to make it happen. I think HSTA has been influential in this, too, in building in professional development days into the contract so that there's dedicated time for teachers to learn how to do some of these things.
I want to thank you for sitting down with me today.
My pleasure.
Donald Young is the Dean of the College of Education at the University of Hawaii at Manoa.